Do you like free money? See, you can go online right now and make a bet for Baylor to win more than 8.5 games on Bet Online next season. That's where it's set, 8.5. And what if I told you it's tied for the lead in the Big 12? Is there that much parity in the conference? All of that on Locked On Baylor.
You are Locked On Baylor, your daily podcast on the Baylor Bears, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Drake Toll here from Locked On Baylor, joined today by Philip Slavin of the 1012 Network, thanking you for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every single day and your second listen between two Bears or, you know, Locked On, all of the other shows that are on 1012 Network. Philip, first and foremost, thanks for coming on. And second most, the Big 12 right now has, across the board, from what I'm seeing, the most parity that I can remember in this conference in at least a few years. The coaching change at Oklahoma, great talent at Texas, but can they win? And now you're seeing that with Bet Online, putting the top three teams all tied at 8.5 wins going into next season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we believe, that this is going to have a conference with a ton of parity, right? And the numbers reflect that. And so I'm always curious how much, and I would have to talk to my pro picker, Daniel Alexander, who works with us in the fall. We make picks each week about how much of this is actually what they think and how much of this is, especially this early in the season, playing off expectations. Because the viewpoint coming into the season before these numbers even came out was this could be the most wide open the Big 12 has been in a very long time. A lot of different metrics say a lot of different things. This is the latest over-unders we've got. We saw win totals from Bet Rivers a few weeks back. Very similar. Not a lot different. Oklahoma was, I think, at 9. Iowa State was at 7.5 as opposed to 6.5 here. It does feel wide open. And, I mean, we've never come into a season since the Big 12 title game came back where we didn't have a team that we said, that team's going to be there. Who's going to be number two? It was always Oklahoma number one preseason, right? And yeah. We feel most confident about Baylor because of everything they're bringing back, because they won it last year, because you literally switched quarterbacks to a guy that we think has a higher ceiling. And so you think Baylor is the best team in the conference, but I almost view them more like we viewed Iowa State after they won and brought everyone back last year. It's kind of they feel like the best bet, but they would normally be a number two behind an Oklahoma. And so because Oklahoma is such a wild card this year with a true coaching change, not like when Lincoln Riley came in and took over for Bob Stoops and there was so much just pure continuity, a true head coaching change, which we haven't seen there since Bob Stoops took over way back when, it does really shift the conference around. We may still be sitting here in December looking at the Big 12 title game saying, this feels very familiar. But for right now, everyone's got flaws. And I think that's kind of what makes this such an interesting season heading into it, is it does feel like it is the most open it's been in a long time.
Philip, it's really interesting to me looking at Baylor's schedule next season. You have games in Ames. You go to Norman. You're going to Austin. You're going to Provo with BYU, which is, granted, outside the Big 12, but it still accounts for that 8.5 games that BetOnline has Baylor at. Right now, do you have, enough confidence, even if money aside, to even say, hey, Baylor's a 9-win or better team no matter what next season?
If you ask me to bet on this number, I'm kind of in a stay-away spot because I could say 9, I could say 8. Baylor, so talking about the Big 12 title game, I mean, every year we had Oklahoma and somebody different, right?
Yeah.
And it's felt like Oklahoma's been a lock, and then whoever was going to get there to face them was going to be the team that won the most close games. It was able to had a dominating individual unit that other teams couldn't figure out, and that gave them enough of an advantage to win those close games. And the problem with that is it's not repeatable. It's really hard to say winning your close games is something you're going to do every year, because law of averages tell us if you're great one year, typically you see a slide the next. Sometimes we'll see a little bit of carryover. Maybe it's not a full slide, but you start to see the law of averages work to a little bit. And while I think Baylor's defensive line is going to be probably the best defensive line in the Big 12, kind of like it was last year, that should give them an advantage. There's so many other things for Baylor, that especially with the secondary. And I know that fans of schools all feel like, no, the next guy's up, there's not going to be a drop off, whatever.
Right.
there's always a drop off somewhere. You can't lose as much as Baylor did after last year's team and not see some drop offs in some spots. Not to mention, as good as Blake Chapin we think is going to be this year and have a higher ceiling, we've got to see what he looks like for a full season. We haven't seen that yet. So it's hard for me with everybody to sit here and go, I'm taking the over. I'm taking the under. I don't feel good taking the under. I would lean the over of 9 games. But if you told me Baylor goes 9-3, that feels about right. I still think that is a good year for Baylor. And this might just be a year where we're used to seeing an 11-1, maybe a 10-2 team in the Big 12 championship game. We might have 2 9-3s. We might have a 10-2 and a 9-3. That just might be what we have this year if it is as wide open as we think it might be.
Baylor, looking at the offensive line, defensive line, I think you mentioned it. You hit the nail on the head, right? The continuity there is where Baylor will make its bed next season. But when you look at a new starting quarterback, it's a new quarterback era at Baylor. The wide receiver core, the secondary, there are a lot of questions. So folks are obviously drinking the Dave Aranda Kool-Aid in year 3, as you probably should with Dave Aranda. But the wins Kool-Aid over 8.5 is certainly one that should be taken with a bit more. Is it Jim Jones? With a bit more like Jim Jones-esque caution. So can I say that? I don't know if I can say that, but we're going to go with that. Why not? Looking across the board then of these teams, you know, Oklahoma again, 8.5 there, and you're seeing them with a new quarterback, a new head coach, and true, you know, parity in their program individually. Across the board, Oklahoma State at 8.5 with Spencer Sanders back, TCU at 6.5 with a new head coach having missed a bowl game last season, or missed that 6-win slot. Who in here surprises you the most with these early odds?
I mean, you see Baylor, OSU, OU, and Texas all at 8.5. Maybe Texas at 8.5. Like, it's been very profitable to bet the under on Texas totals for the past decade, right? And so at 8.5, I think most people are going to bet the under, except for maybe Texas fans who are like, no, this is going to be the year. Like,
right.
Texas has got, they just brought in a Tariq Milton from Iowa State. That wide receiver room is loaded, but you can only play so many wide receivers, and they have, you know, offensive line questions, issues on defense. Like, great, you're going to have plenty of wide receivers and a quarterback who we all think is going to be really good, and two, arguably the best running back room in the Big 12.
Yeah,
but you got to play defense, and if your offensive line can't block for the running backs or protect the quarterback and give him time to get it to that entire arsenal of wide receivers, it's not going to mean a whole lot. So, I mean, 8.5, thanks for the free money again, I guess. I think it's interesting that, you know, we always talk about like dark horses. One of the things we talked about on 10-12 podcasts that we've been noticing is, you know, ever since the Big 12 title game came back, a team has made their first appearance every single season. Year 1 was Oklahoma and TCU. Then you had Texas. Then you had Baylor. Then you have Iowa State. And then the next year, Baylor's back in it. Oklahoma's out, but Oklahoma State makes their first appearance. So 6 of the 10 teams in the conference have now appeared in the Big 12 title game since it came back. If that trend continues, which is crazy, because even last year, like, this has to be the year it stops happening. I don't think we're going to get an ACC Coastal where you literally get every single team makes to the title game in a row,
yeah,
including Notre Dame the year in 2020. But you look at this, you say Iowa State's at 6.5. Kansas State is also at 6.5. And that is the team I keep looking at going, man, if there is a team who will make their first appearance in the title game since it came back, that leaves Texas Tech, Kansas State, West Virginia, and Kansas. I kind of like Kansas State. I know not everyone's high on Adrian Martinez. I think I don't hold as much against him as some do for what we saw from him from Nebraska. Plus, they do bring a lot back. They're going to bring a bunch of studs back on defense that should be really good. And I am intrigued to see them at least spread the ball out a little bit, because I don't think, while what made them different was very effective and very frustrating, and the Big 12 was so used to it, seeing them shift and do something a little bit different on offense might give them, I think, opens things up for them a little bit more this year, is maybe a higher ceiling. So I like Kansas State at 6.5. I think that's low, honestly. Yeah. Like, I would take the over on Kansas State. I have no idea what to do with Iowa State at 6.5. I don't. I don't think anybody does. I think everybody's very low on them. I think maybe they're a quality stock to buy into just because Matt Campbell has been so good at Iowa State. But as far as a betting on a win total, they won 7 games. Like, I have no idea. I would pick the over because I feel like I should with Matt Campbell. There's enough evidence there to give him enough credit to say he's going to get enough out of this team. But I mean, I'm already at 0-1 with Iowa on the schedule. So I have no idea what to do.
Philip, the next thing I really want to hit is the future of the Big 12 when it comes to pods or protected rivals or divisions or where this conference will go in terms of how they'll structure their schedule every year. But first, folks, I promise Philip is not going away. I just got to tell everybody about Rock Auto. So I am obviously in Valonia. For the folks that listen at home, I'm in Arkansas. The reason why I'm getting, I like to see my family. I'm also getting my car fixed because I got T-boned by a Kai Omega driving down 9th Street. She stopped at the stop. Can you believe this? She didn't run through the stop sign. She stopped at the stop sign and was like, well, I guess I should go. And then just T-bones me. So I got to get this fixed, right? So I'm looking for parts. I'm trying to find, there's like a part shortage. So I'm going to Rock Auto and they like, it's right there. They know what car I have. They know everything that, because you go to the local auto parts store and you're like, oh, I have a Nissan Maxima. And they're like, oh, an XL or an MTX or an EXV. And you're like, I don't like that's, those are types of Bibles, I think, but they're not, it's not helpful, right? Rock Auto, they got exactly what you need. You go to Rock Auto, you can find everything priced down a ton. You can find it for up to 100% off what you'd find at a local chain store. I encourage you to go online and just check out what they have. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts that are available that would work for your car or truck right in Locked On the How Did You Hear About Us. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. That is all the parts that your car will ever need at Rock Auto. Now, Philip, it is we know college football is changing, right? Maybe more so now than it has in decades with the NIL, the transfer portal, and conference movement. With that, the Big 12 now will be pit with a decision to move to divisions for two seasons with 14 teams, protected rivals, pods. Where do you sit in this realm of endless possibilities for the Big 12?
I think the first question you have to ask is, what do they do for 2 years? Or however long Oklahoma and Texas is in the conference, and does that carry over? Because the other question is the Big 12 is there's enough people who said, well, they might add two more teams that I'm not even sure that once Oklahoma and Texas leave this conference is settled. But I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. At the 10-12 Network, 10-12 Podcast, I have been banging the drum aggressively since January that I want protected rivalries. And the reason for that is that, look, the top 10 games for the season came out, right? Someone, I forget who it is, at 247 put out their top 100 games of the 2022 season. And you got to go down the list of ways until you get to a Big 12 game that does not include Oklahoma and Texas. We get it. There's not as many well-defined rivalries. And you got a lot of new teams coming in that don't have the strong relationships with the conference. The rest of the conference is going to be here, the eight remaining. I think we have to protect the rivalries that are there. So that is the most important thing to me, is I want to make sure Farmageddon, which I think is going to be the best rivalry left in the Big 12, remains. I need Kansas State and Iowa State. They just loathe each other. I don't know anybody. I love seeing Kansas State fans who will just go after anything Iowa State posts or anything about Iowa State. It's great. TCU and BYU used to play in the Mountain West. I think that's an opportunity there. I want to see some of the Texas rivalries remain. I think those are very important. I know every Texas team I know is, well, there's our rival. No. You guys have certain teams in Texas that will be here that are your two Texas rivals, not like, well, all Texas Tech and Baylor and TCU and no. We have to protect the ones that currently exist and try and keep some of the games that we care about. So there's a couple different options, obviously. Pods, and I want to make sure everybody understands, because I think some people get confused on what do pods mean versus what do protected rivalries mean.
Right.
Pods is what the SEC is projected to do, which is four teams grouped together. They all play each other, and they rotate through everybody else. Protected rivals or annual opponents or however you want to name it, is what the AACC is proposing. It's a 3+5. That is, you play three teams every year, and then you rotate through everybody else over a four-year period. So you go to every stadium in a four-year period. That way, if you stay at a school for 4 years, you play on the road at every other school in the conference, as it should be. The difference between pods and rivalry and a protected schedule is pods, you know you're playing, you're all playing the same teams. Those four teams will all play each other. If we do it as a 3+6 in the Big 12, then West Virginia could play UCF, Iowa State and Cincinnati every year. But Iowa State could play West Virginia, Cincinnati, and Kansas State every year. It doesn't mean that those four teams are all grouped together. It allows for more flexibility. Whether it's 3+6 or 2+7 or whatever we want to do it as, I do want to make sure that you have some games where you know who you're playing every year, and whether that's protecting old rivalries or starting to try and build some new ones. I just think that's better. You don't want the Big 12 to be regressive. Everyone's going to ditch divisions because there's no need for them when you're not going to decide a title game with them. And I don't think you should. You need to do what's best for the conference. And what's best for the conference is not always best for each team, but you need to do what's best for the Big 12 to ensure its best teams are competing with a chance to make it to the 14 playoff until they expand it. I don't see a point for divisions. I don't think it makes sense. And geographically, it doesn't make sense. The only conferences that are saying they're going to stick with divisions, according to Chris Vanini of The Athletic, are two G5 conferences. The Sun Belt, which makes sense because of geography, and that's why they've expanded the way they have. And the MAC, which is a very small, geographically close conference that has their conference rivalries built in. You cannot sit here and do divisions when you have a conference that stretches from Provo, Utah to Orlando, Florida. That doesn't make any sense. And I understand we have air travel. We can get to places fairly quickly, but that still doesn't like make sense. I don't need that every year. I just want to make sure I have a few teams on my schedule, and then we're going to rotate through everybody else and play them all over a 3 to 4 year period.
Philip, when it comes to Baylor and BYU, that's one of the big questions that I've had burning in my brain. You know, they came to Waco last year and brought, I'd say it's homecoming day, and 40% of the fans in the stands were wearing blue. I have never seen an opposing fan base, not even Oklahoma or Texas, travel to a game like that. It was jaw-dropping. And I think that could be crafted into, you look at the religious aspect. These two teams, have they met? Baylor beat Steve Young in 85, I think. I could be so wrong there, but they beat Steve Young. So, you know, there are inklings of some history there. But I've heard murmurs that it just may not work out with these two teams from an administrational standpoint, even will start to meet annually in the Big 12. Have you heard anything on that front? And is that something that you'd love to see crafted? Is there a dormant rivalry that looks to explode out of Baylor BYU?
I mean, look, I've kind of heard some of the same murmurs that Baylor doesn't want to play BYU annually. And that's not what they want. And I'm fine with that. Like, I think we, as fans, we keep looking for, well, they should want to play this team. And we can't force rivalries. As much as I would love to, we can't force them. West Virginia has been in this conference for 10 years and still doesn't have a conference rival. They still don't have anybody that they just gets their blood boiling. And they've been here for a decade. And so, yeah, sure, BYU, Baylor, two religious institutions, they should want to have a rivalry. TCU's played BYU. They have history. They have some bad blood history. Let that be. Like, I don't want to. You're going to create rivals or annual opponents. For instance, there is a strong relationship between Texas Tech and Oklahoma State, in large part because of Oklahoma State's new athletic director, Chad Weiberg, who spent a good deal of time at Texas Tech. It's two schools, fan bases that honestly almost annoy each other, like two brothers that just seem to. And there's some similarities between Texas Tech to Texas and Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and so on and so forth. So I think that is two schools that want to play each other for varying reasons. All the way down to Kansas State, Iowa State, that literally at this point hate each other and want to play that game. I don't think you can force it. I don't think we should. I think whatever is going to happen as far as how the conference decides to put things together is going to be some sort of middle of the road agreement where everyone kind of gets some of what they want and some of what they don't. But that's the other reason I don't want divisions. Like, and here's the other thing. Baylor doesn't want to play BYU every year. Okay. You're still going to play them two out of every four seasons for the most part. Like, it's a 12-team conference. It's not that many teams. Even if they go to 14 or even if they go to 16, you're still going to play that team twice every 4 years. So, like, it's not like you're going to completely avoid them unless they go with some really weird scheduling model where it's like, we'll see them whenever we see them. But we've seen that in the SEC, and it's awful. Like, you're going to play these teams. So, you don't want to play them every year? Fine. Interestingly enough, I think a lot of Big 12 teams do want to play BYU annually. I think that is one of the kind of a point that a lot of athletics are kind of fighting about, because as you mentioned, it's not just that BYU traveled well. BYU is national. I don't think a lot of their fans had to travel that far, because I'm sure there's plenty of BYU fans in the state of Texas.
Yeah.
That is a national brand. It's part of why BYU is coming to the Big 12, despite some of the things that would maybe turn you off from adding them to your conference. I think they're good at it. They're a national brand. Teams want to play them because that's a fan base that is all over the country. Your game's going to be more likely to be seen by more people across the U.S. as opposed to just strong performances regionally.
You kind of alluded to the opportunity, the path of least resistance, right? To have success for the conference. How can the Big 12 get one or two playoff teams into the college football playoff in its current format with four teams? Obviously, that will change if that inevitably expands. And that's kind of what I want to hit on. But first, Phillip's going to take another very, very short nap. He's got a baby. Do you guys know that? Phillip has a baby. So he's doing this in his own home, trying not to wake the baby up. So we're giving him a chance to take a very quick power nap while I'll tell you about Bet Online. Bet Online, number one source for all your betting needs. All of those, all the win totals we mentioned earlier, that's Bet Online. Bet Online esports, live betting. You can go, the NBA playoffs, I think, are still going on. The Mavericks, they're down 3-0, I think. College. Maybe they're not. You help me. Bet Online. Go to Bet Online. They could tell you. They can tell me. Right now, go to the website. Use your mobile device to really accessible. See the trends. See the action. See where they have Baylor. Go make a bet on Baylor. 8.5 games over or under wherever you see this team being next season. That is Bet Online, where the game starts. Again, go to Bet Online. That's where the game starts. Phillip, I'm a madman. I have been called crazy, but work with me here. In my opinion, look at Baylor-Oklahoma, that Big 12 championship game, right? If Baylor was to have beaten Oklahoma, or even Iowa State-Oklahoma, right? You're looking at a conversation where, let's say OU loses either of those games. Their college football playoff chances are probably down to zero. And Baylor is kind of a crapshoot, right? Or Iowa State's kind of a crapshoot. It feels like the conference championship game, as great as it is for revenue, and you send two teams to Dallas, bada bing, bada boom. But it's going to catch up and hurt the Big 12 for getting somebody into the college football playoff if it hasn't already. Could we see the death of the conference championship game as the landscape of college football changes?
No, I don't. You the first thing that's most important is the money. Like, you're not giving that up. And as a conference that is about to take a financial hit once the new contracts are signed for the new conference, like, you're not going to willingly take more of a hit. You're not going to make yourself less appealing by taking away your conference championship game. So from that standpoint, it's not going away. And I would argue that here's the problem. We don't have enough sample size to determine whether or not it's been successful or not, right? Yeah. Oklahoma has won it most every year until last year. And it has always been a thing that helped them get to the playoff, right? It was added in because we were told about the 13th data point when TCU and Baylor both had a legitimate case to make the playoff in the first year. This past year, a lot of people like to say, well, if OSU had won that game, they probably would have bumped Cincinnati. I'm going to be honest, two things. One, as an OSU fan, like, I wouldn't have said no, but I would have felt a little bad kicking out a team that I think probably deserved it more than Oklahoma State did. And two, that is some revisionist history, because I'm not sure they would have, especially if they had just crossed that 1-inch line and won that particular game. That was not would not have been a convincing win. It'd be really hard to say, yes, that Oklahoma State team deserves to get in over a Cincinnati team that went undefeated. I don't think you can make the case that it's hurt them. And I think it is the other reason to ensure that your two best teams are making the championship game and we're not going to divisions where you have a possibility of a one-loss team versus a 9 or 8 or 7 win, or a 9-win team versus a 7 or 8 win team.
Yeah.
I think you have to make sure your two best teams get there. And honestly, I think in most cases, if a one-loss Big 12 champ, whoever that is probably going to get in the playoff. You're going to always have the issue of, and this is why I say it's small sample size, it's hard to know for sure if that's the case, if it's not Oklahoma, or it's not a Texas team that maybe does it, because you're dealing with the issue of Oklahoma gets the benefit of the doubt. Texas is immediately going to get the benefit of the doubt if they have a good season. Yeah. Will the rest of the conference get that same benefit of the doubt? We haven't seen that yet. We haven't seen a one-loss champ not named Oklahoma left out with title game back in. So I think it's hard case that it's going to hurt the Big 12. I don't think Big 12 thus far. Because again, I don't know that it hurt the Big 12 last year with Baylor beating Oklahoma. Because you can also make the case, the Big 12 sent two teams to Power 6 or to New Year 6 games, and they won both of those. And I think that was almost more impressive. Oklahoma State sneaking in and getting beat severely by Georgia or Alabama. Or I would rather have had the two wins sitting here now than a playoff loss that was just embarrassing. And I know that's silly, because I would rather be in the playoff, obviously, but I don't think it worked out poorly for the Big 12 last year.
One of the things then that I look at is scheduling in the Big 12. You mentioned the SEC, right? Well, you have one team from the East, let's say Georgia. You're not going to pit Georgia and Alabama against one another very frequently, because you want the path of least resistance to get a team into the college football playoff. An example of that. If Tennessee next season played eight SEC teams, like just throwing a scramble, eight or nine SEC teams. And then the other three teams they played were Albany all three times, and they went 12-0. They're going to make the college football playoff, period. Path of least resistance. You can kind of schedule whoever you want in that non-conference slot as long as you take care of business in conference the way that I see it. So then with the Big 12, do you now craft schedules? Talking pods, divisions, whatever. Do you craft a team schedule based on, hey, who's going to be good this next season? And what's the best bet that we can give them to make the college football playoff? Kind of like the SEC has been doing with those cross-division games.
I'm not sure that's what the cross-division games were, because I think they were established so long ago. It's hard to look at them now and say, well, it was designed for this, because we knew Tennessee was going to be god-awful for the last however long, right?
Right.
Like, some of that's because Tennessee wanted Alabama. They wanted that rivalry game. So those were some of the rivalry games that were protected. And so it's hard to look at it now and say, well, they obviously were trying to help Alabama by giving them Tennessee every year. But like that was established so long ago that it's hard to have that viewpoint. I think it's going to be a hard sell to go to the TV network and say, we're going to ensure we have one really good team and kind of mess everybody else up. The reason you want scheduling flexibility more than you have now, to me, is trying to make good matchups to sell to your network by saying we're going to be able to better pit together the teams that we think are going to be good and are going to give you good TV. Once the playoff, some of this has to be done with the mindset of this playoff's going to expand in 2025 when that contract ends. It's going to. We don't know what it's going to look like. Maybe it's 8, maybe it's 12. I kind of lean towards 12 because the SEC is like, you're either going to make it 12 or we'll find it 4. And so you're going to make it 12.
Right.
Whether it's the 5 Power 5 conference champs, or the 6 highest rated or whatever it is, your conference champ's going to get in, right? I think you have to try and, especially as the Big 12, you can't just do things the way everybody else is. You have to say, we want to put together the best schedule every year to get the most eyeballs on us, to make the most dollars. So I don't think you can say we're gonna give Baylor or Oklahoma, whoever last year was, just like the NFL or reverse NFL, where if you were really good last year, we're gonna give you an easy schedule. Like, you're gonna try and pit together the teams you think are gonna be good to try and get more eyeballs on your games.
I like it, Philip. That right there. It's what I needed, because I have been on the train of like, look, it's gotten to the point where in college football, the Power Five, you go 12-0 against whoever you're pit against, you're going to the college football playoff. And again, that's going to continually change and progressively, like in college basketball, right? You want a tough non-conference to prepare you for that conference season, and even more so prepare you, hey, let's play those tournaments early in the year that prepare you for March. Whereas in college football, look at the SEC in week 11, where Alabama is playing Western Kentucky on a down year. That's a bad example now. But that's what's happening there, is just add another win, get to the playoff, which I think hopefully will dissipate in the years to come. So what I do want to give you time to do, Philip, and thanks so much again for coming on today, is for those out there that want to find more Baylor content, more Big 12 content, need a place to do it, plug your stuff, where can they find you?
You can follow us on Twitter at 1012 Network, T-E-N, the number 12, the word network. We are the podcast network that covers the entire Big 12. We are 10 shows strong, flagship show 1012 podcast that I host with my good friends Jamie Steyer Johnson and Andy Mitz, and then a variety of guests that we bring on the regular. We have shows for Baylor, as for the Baylor fans. If you do not listen to Between Two Bears with Matt Isbear and Evan Abear, yes, it is an homage to Between Two Ferns, and yes, it is just about as irreverent as that show. But I love those two guys, and I love that show. It's perfect. That's one of those shows we started from scratch. Some of the shows we brought onto the network were established, really well established. Raspy Voice Kids, our West Virginia show, Fire the Cannon, our Texas show. But we had a couple that we started up from scratch. Between Two Bears was one of them, and it's been just magic. It's just like going to the kitchen, throwing together whatever you got, and somehow you just made a meal that you've got to figure out how to make on a regular basis. But you won't ever be able to do it again. You'll never be able to make it exactly the same. But it's fantastic. So go check out every show on the network. Give us a follow on Twitter at 1012 Network, on Twitter at 1012 Pod, on Instagram, and check out every show on the network.
Absolutely. When you're not listening to Locked On Baylor, that is, or after you listen to Locked On Baylor every day, I say that to say that we've had Isbear and Abear both on the show, and they are insanely good and very entertaining. Sports, yeah, sometimes, but mostly just laughs and entertainment. And you can tell those guys I said it, but thank you for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every day. Make your second listen Locked On NBA Big Board Podcast, giving you all the big stuff from Kendall Brown to Jeremy Sohan and everything going on in the NBA draft. It has nothing to do with Matthew Meyer, who's not doing that stuff anymore. Follow Locked On NBA Board every day on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. Thank you for listening today, and come back tomorrow. We'll be joined by Rob Stieg from USF to talk Gary Bohannon and how he fits into the Bulls program. This has been, always will be, Locked On Baylor.